We need to be patient. Anything and everything we ask God for, if you need to know, if you want to know, it's available to know. But again, it has to be in light of the written word. Now, this is our, you know, people run around all over the place saying, well, God told me this, God told me that, God showed me this, God showed me that. And what God is showing them, telling them, quote unquote, it goes at cross purposes with the scripture. And if it does go at cross purposes with the scripture, if the scripture says one thing and God is telling you something totally opposite, then chances are God hasn't told you a blessed thing. And that's what people fail to realize, is they'll run around, they'll be so convinced, and yet what they're convinced about is contrary to the scripture. That's why this scripture is so important to us. This scripture is our compass. This scripture is everything that we need to know, and it puts everything in life in perspective, in its proper perspective. You know, when people walk around and say things that are contrary to the scripture, then, you know, you don't have to believe it. You know, that's the important thing to realize. And anything in life, you know, I mean, you know, we've seen how God will answer prayers for our vehicles, keep our vehicles going, get us to work, take care of our physical bodies, and He'll also answer our questions that we have. He'll make sure that we know and understand if we really truly want to know and understand. Some things you got to wait years to understand. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. And if you're not patient, you're in the wrong deal. You know, walking with God sometimes takes patience. You have to be patient for Him to get everything in order to get you what you need. You have to be patient. You have to wait on Him. Wait on the Lord. You know, not only His coming, but wait on Him to answer. You ask Him, He'll answer. He said He will. He never set a timetable, though. He has just promised that He'll never be late. You'll have it when you need it. Anything that you ask of God, you will have when you need. You know, I mean, it's all through the Scripture. Sometimes it's right down to the wire. Right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's right down to, you know, organizing the group of people that are going to let you down in a basket over the wall so that you don't have to leave through the gate where people have been hired to assassinate you. That's the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
You know, they had to lower him at night. A group of them got together and said, I know how to get you out of here, out of Damascus. We'll lower you over the wall while they're not looking in the basket and get you out of here so you can go move the word. See, I mean, you have to be patient. We all have to be patient. But in that patience, we have to trust God and be focused on the things that God has called us to be focused on. You know, we have such a wealth of information to study in this Word. In 10 lifetimes, we wouldn't be able to get it all in.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's so many topics of study that we could invest our time in. And like, you know, like Patty was sharing, you know, now she has a great hunger for that information about the end times. And now she's taking the time to do it. Maybe before it was about the Passover and what that really means to us and Jesus Christ being the Passover lamb. Maybe it was about Him being the promised seed of Genesis, you know, chapter 3. You know, what are these things that we desire to learn? We can take the time to learn, and God will show us. God will open the eyes of our understanding as we go to the Scripture and allow it to speak. Allow it to speak for itself. You know, applying those principles that we learned so many years ago. The Word of God interprets itself. We don't need the theologians to interpret it for us. It will interpret itself. Sometimes we need a guide, someone who has studied it, walk you through. Like the eunuch that Philip met up with. And he had a scroll of Isaiah. And he said, you know, Philip joins himself with him and says, hey, you got a scroll of Isaiah. Awesome. You're a pretty important guy. You're a eunuch, but you have a scroll of Isaiah and you're going home with it. That's pretty awesome. We know you didn't steal it out of the synagogue. They let you have it. But do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I understand this unless somebody guide me? You know, I was reading this part right here. You know, that you know, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. You know, is the prophet speaking of himself or is he speaking of someone else? And Philip opened his mouth and just started telling him what he knew firsthand about the Christ, and that the prophet was speaking of the Messiah, and that he had come, Jesus of Nazareth. They took him, they crucified him as a lamb. And he explained it to him, and it's just like, wow, awesome. Sometimes we need that. But that guide should always bring us to the Scripture and let the Scripture speak for itself. Allow it to speak for itself in its context. Who is it written to? Right? Important things. Right now, we have to remain focused. You know, in our private study time, we study whatever you're hungry to learn, and God will fill you. But our hearts and our lives must be wholeheartedly concerned with what God's called us to do now. Because that's really what makes life a thrill. You know, like it says in James, you know, I mean, it's one thing to know everything and to say you're doing, you know, all these great things for God, but without real faith, they're nothing. You know, the book of James is all about that. The book of James is sometimes, it's looked at as one of the first epistles ever written to the church. And it's written to those that were scattered abroad of the tribes of Israel. Ones that had left Jerusalem during the, you know, what they call the dispersion, when there was a lot of pressure, a lot of persecution. And so these born-again Jews decided to get out of Jerusalem and go move the word. And so James, having a real heart for them, wrote to them and told them, you know, to keep their eyes on the importance of faith. It's not just doing the law anymore, folks. It's about believing what you're doing. It's about believing. It's about having faith. Because without faith, you're like a wave driven of the wind and tossed. Yeah. And he helped them understand that it's more than just works. And it's more than just saying, I believe. I have faith. The works have to emanate from your faith. You don't just do works for work's sake. And you don't just say you believe and do nothing. And have it generate no activity in your life. Right? It's by faith that we see great things happen in our lives. And as we focus on what we've been called to do, we'll be doing the right work for the right reason out of faith. And it says in Acts chapter 1, that's where we're going. We're not going to James. Although it would be fun. Because I love the book of James because it really does speak loudly about faith and about what faith in the heart of an individual really generates in their life. It generates the work that they've been called to do. You know, like he says, and I'll show you my works by my faith, because of my faith. And those are the works that really do something. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, what Jesus Christ encouraged them with is what their lives, our lives, would be all about. That you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. For what? So that you can be a witness. A witness of what? Unto me. Who's the me here? It's the resurrected Christ. It's the resurrected, it's the Lamb of God. Who was taken, slain, crucified, buried, and 3 days and three nights later, God raised him from the dead. You are witnesses unto him. Your life, my life, that's what we've been called to prove, to witness, to attest to the reality that God raised His Son Jesus Christ from the dead. Because if we know that, then we know everything else is going to come to pass too. He foretold of that. He told David, I'm not going to leave my Holy One in the grave. He exemplified it with Jonah. 3 days and three nights in that sea monster's belly. The fish, the great fish, literally. Was it a whale? I don't know. It was probably Shamu.
Big Shamu.
Not ShamWow, Shamu. He wrapped them up in the big ShamWow. A great fish, literally. Great fish. Yeah, 3 days, three nights. And then that old fish spit him up. And God made him alive again. That was a type to point toward the Christ. We are witnesses to that. When the Holy Spirit is given to you, at that moment of the new birth, and you have it, at the moment that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, God puts that Spirit within you. That Holy Spirit within you, you have it. And now, as you use that, as you utilize it, you attest to that resurrection. You attest to it. You are an eyewitness of it. You weren't there. You didn't see it with your eyes. But you have the evidence of it within you. And you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The uttermost part of the earth. Those individuals there never got to the uttermost part of the earth. So the Spirit still must have been available after they were dead, which is what most people say, no. And this is the rationale that people give you when it's like, well, no, you don't have the same thing that they had. That's the apostolic age. And once the last apostle died, no more Spirit, no more nothing. That's why you don't see any signs, miracles, and wonders anymore. What are you talking about? I see them all the time. It's like the guy that I was talking to. The Jehovah's Witness guy in the plane. You know, he wanted to tell me that the works that I do, ye shall do also, is referring to another time. It's the time later. And I said, wait a second, what are you talking about? We're doing them now. We're doing them now. In the name of Jesus Christ, people are being healed. People are being delivered of devil spirits. People are being healed in their heart of heartbreak or whatever it is that they're dealing with. They're being made whole. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're seeing these things. They are genuine, they are true, they are real, because it's being done in the name of Jesus Christ, not in the name of Jesus Barbaros.
What is that?
But in the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Barabbas, you know, give us Jesus Barabbas, you know. It was Barabbas. No. But Jesus of Nazareth. These things are happening. You know, you can't deny it. People want to deny it. And it's the same thing now as it was back in those days. In the days of the early church, in the book of Acts. You know, they were walking out, they were healing, they were preaching, they were teaching, they were healing in the name of Jesus Christ, just like Jesus Christ did, right? The man at the temple gate, the lame man, he's healed. He's running around, leaping, praising God. How did this happen? The name of Jesus made him whole. Okay, well, let's not talk about that. We command you not to talk about that. See, we have what this word says we have. And if we focus on it, we will be able to see the same things that they saw. And we are seeing. And if God answers a prayer for you, if God takes care of your desire, your request, that attests to the reality of Him raising His Son Jesus Christ from the dead too. See? And if we're focused on these things, then there's going to be great things happen in our lives as well as the lives of people around us. Whether they want to believe it or not, there will be one person that comes to you that says, I want to believe. Help mine unbelief. And we're not, you know, I'm not concerned so much with all the Christians out there that they believe the same thing. I'm not that concerned about that. Because if they're born again, they're born again, they're going to heaven, and praise the Lord, I'll see them throughout eternity. We can talk then.
Yeah.
What I'm concerned about is what God's concerned about. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those that have such a hunger to know who God is and what He's willing to do. That's who I'm concerned with. That's who we should be concerned with. The ones that want to really know that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Not just talk about it, not just say that they accept it because they've been water baptized in the front of the congregation. But those who really know, really want to know. Not just in their head, but in their heart, so that it becomes manifest in their life. We are witnesses unto Him. That's a great calling. That's a great purpose. And that really is the purpose of every born-again believer. Every one of us who has come to the throne of God and said, Jesus is my Lord, and I believed that You, God, raised Him from the dead. And God says, okay, here's my Spirit. Now, witness. Use it. Use it. Attest to the reality that you just said you believed. Like, oh gosh, I got to do that? They'll think I'm crazy. Yeah, but it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be so fun though.
That's right.
They may think you're crazy. He's crazy. He really believes this stuff. He's out of his cotton picking mind. Okay, well tell that to my knee. Tell that to my knee. You weren't healed. Tell that to Greg's heart. Tell that to Jim's heart. The name of Jesus Christ heals and delivers today just like it did then. This is not just a storybook. This is a history book. This is history. This is the history of God at work for the world. This is incredible. And this is a great calling. You know, and everything that we learn, everything that we study in the Word builds that kind of confidence in us toward our Heavenly Father. It should, because we see it. We see that, you know, the closer we look at the Word, the more it makes sense. Well, it's like, oh, okay, now I understand. And as the more understanding we have, the more confidence we have in God and His plan of redemption and how that it all He put it all together. See? And we can be confident in knowing that, hey, you know, this is a cool thing to do. To attest to the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection is really a pretty incredible thing to do. And it's not just saying it, right? Jesus Christ didn't just preach. He just didn't teach the Scripture. He went about doing good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Healing. So the result, the outcome of that preaching and teaching is deliverance. It's the power of God being manifest. You know, we can expect these things. As we proclaim the truth, we can expect. You may sit down and start to talk about the things of God with someone. The door may open. And you're talking about, oh yeah, yeah, I believe God. Yeah. Do you believe God? I don't know. Sometimes I do. Well, how come only sometimes? Well, because I haven't really seen Him do anything. Oh, let me tell you what I've seen Him do. Let me tell you what I've seen and heard. And that will build in faith in that person, confidence. And then you can direct them to give God their care, give God their concern, let God prove Himself. And see great things. It's a simple thing to witness. You know, people, we used to go through classes on witnessing. Why? I guess just to convince us that we were supposed to do it. Because we were afraid of it. Because the only thing we've ever known about witnessing is getting your tie on, your white shirt and tie, and going and knocking on doors. No, you don't have to do that. It's about the Spirit of God within you. The only reason they could be witnesses is because they had the Spirit. He said, wait. Wait until you get the Spirit, then go and witness.
That's right.
You're not a witness unless you have the Spirit. And when it comes to outreach, this is what God's called us to reach the world with His Word in reference to His Son, Jesus Christ. We do it with the power of the Spirit. We do it with the Spirit within us. And then it becomes simple. We let God open the doors. We share a little bit. We're concerned with people. We have a little bit of compassion on people. We see what they want, what they need. They tell us, because people are always going to tell you what's wrong with them, right? Have you ever met a person for the first time? Say, hey, how you doing? Oh, not too bad. I just lost my job yesterday, though. And I got the gout, and my wife is sick, and my kids, gout. People are pretty forthcoming with their problems if you really get them going. If you ask, how you doing? Oh, yeah, how's that working for you? They'll tell you. They will tell you. And that will be an open door to tell them what God is willing to do for them. And you start by, hey, look, if God raised His Son Jesus Christ from the dead, don't you think He can take care of that for you? Is that any bigger of a problem than being dead? Not really. So God's capable, God's able, and God's willing. Let's share with people that God raised His Son Jesus Christ from the dead. And let's go one step further. Let's prove it by manifesting that Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Manifest. Use those 9 manifestations that you have. Speak in tongues much when you're alone by yourself. Seek to edify the believers by prophecy and interpretation of tongues when we get together. Trust that God's going to give you word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits when you need it. Trust that. Trust He will do that for you. Trust that He's given you, He's enabled you to have the kind of faith to bring to pass miracles and gifts of healing for people. Those are the manifestations. And they attest that He must have raised His Son from the dead. So let's do that. It's simple. It's easy. It's not hard. No harder than it is taking your key, putting it in your ignition, and turning the thing on. It's all there. Your key is just simply your faith. Put your faith to work. Believe and act on it. Okay? You've got everything. Now, proceed with faith. Okay, so Father, thank You for Your blessings. Thanks for what You've called us to, Father, and that we can see great signs, miracles, and wonders as we seek to witness that great day that You raised Your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Thanks, Father, for Your promises and for our confidence in You and our confidence in having a complete 100% conviction that anything You've promised You will surely bring to pass. Thank You, Father, that You will back us up as we speak Your Word, as we share Your truth, and You certainly will energize that Spirit within us as we walk out with great faith, great confidence in You, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.